time to wrap up the hockey season. Joined on the phone by our friend Jesse Connolly of alongtheboards.com. Good afternoon, Jesse.
Hey, good afternoon. Bittersweet conversation ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. It was such a great season. Well, I assume it was a great season after the Bruins were were put away, and we had such a wonderful playoff run. We've said it time and time again. Playoff hockey is just the best there is. And this year, I think a whole new level. So many of the series were great. A lot of overtime games, a lot of close games. I think I heard the stat that in the last game of the Stanley Cup Finals, when the Blackhawks went up by two, that was the widest margin anybody had in that series.
It was, yeah. Once, like you said, the Bruins were dead and over, we finally got to be treated to some fantastic hockey on a regular basis, which is great. You know, I really love, when it comes to playoff time, the first round is just such a treat. There's multiple games on literally every night, and you get to see teams that, you really don't get to see throughout the season unless you subscribe to Center Ice and fork over $150+ throughout the year. So, yeah, it was a lot of fun from start to finish, and what a way to cap it off. Tremendous series between the Lightning and the Blackhawks, two super talented teams. You've got basically what's now like a clear-cut dynasty, especially in NHL terms for Chicago with three championships in 6 years, and Tampa, a team that's not really, you can't say they're on the rise anymore. They've arrived. I think they're going to be right back there in the thick of things in the East, and hopefully for them the Stanley Cup final again next year. And like you said, what a competitive series. It took until the third period of Game 6 of the Stanley Cup final for either team to hold a two-goal lead there, which was fantastic from start to finish. Lots of fun.
Yeah, it was a great series, and of course some good rooting interest here in Maine. Ben Bishop battled that injury, and we now know a torn groin, which makes you respect even more what he was able to do out there. But also, even though he didn't play in the series, Scotty Darling, the former Black Bear, certainly played a key role in getting there. We appreciated not only seeing him hoist the Stanley Cup, but I guess it was his girlfriend there with him wearing a Maine Black Bear shirt during the celebration.
Yeah, I noticed that in the photos afterward. Yeah, absolutely. Some great Maine storylines for us to discuss, starting with, Ben Bishop. I believe he suffered the torn groin in game two, and you think about, what that must feel like as a goaltender. I don't think I could go through that sitting at my desk from 9 to 5 every day, let alone, dealing with the pressure and dealing with the, athletic acrobatics that you have to pull off, in net. And he's certainly, obviously a supremely talented guy. He had to rely on that a little bit. He was laboring, and he battled, and he was fantastic for a guy that was going through, what he was suffering there. And, on the flip side there, Scott Darling, like we've said so many times throughout the year, what a tremendous story for him to not only earn a spot in the National Hockey League, but end up being a Stanley Cup champion by year's end. And, he certainly played his part. He wasn't just the backup throughout. He had to come in the first round there when Corey Crawford was struggling, and he was amazing. I think he had a 42-save shutout in his first performance. It was a double overtime victory, and what a thrill for him and his family.
Well, and as you said, both of these teams with a very good nucleus coming back, and you expect that they'll both be in the mix, I would think, for a few years to come.
Yeah, it's hard to see either one being knocked off the pedestal in the Eastern and Western conferences. You look at Tampa, and there's just so many guys that are emerging that are locked up for the future, that are young, that are, either in their prime, like Steven Stamkos, perennial 40-goal scorer, potential 50-goal guy. And, beyond that, they've got just so much young talent that's really growing. Nikita Kucherov, Tyler Johnson, who was absolutely amazing during the first three rounds of the playoffs. And you have to wonder, what might have been if he hadn't broken his wrist early on in the series. He had already set a franchise record for goals in a postseason. So there's a lot of young talent there and a lot to look forward to. With Chicago, it's those familiar names there. It's Jonathan Toews, it's Patrick Kane, it's Duncan Keith, it's Brent Seabrook. I mean, those are four guys you can build around for years now. I mean, what are they? In their mid to late 20s. Mm-hmm. There's so much great hockey in their future, and they've got good young pieces coming in, so that they went through in 2010, they kind of had to blow things up, getting rid of Dustin Byfuglien and Andrew Ladd and even Antti Niemi, who was the cup winning goalie for them that year, and they kind of had to start over. But it's amazing. You look at the job they've done to not miss a beat, and it looks like they're going to be able to pull it off again this summer. Patrick Sharp is being dangled out there. He's a guy that they can shed some salary, but then they've got Teuvo Teravainen is stepping up, and a number of tremendous young players that'll just step right in.
And for those teams that want to rebuild, they get their chance soon with the National Hockey League draft. It seems fairly set with the first two or three picks. Any surprises that you could see happening?
No, I don't think we'll see any deviation from what we've expected all along. Early in the fall, there was that that very Hall versus Sagan-like battle between Connor McDavid and Jack Eichel. And we hadn't seen what Jack Eichel could do yet at BU, and he certainly didn't do anything to hurt his cause. He was tremendous in his freshman season, helping the Terriers get to the national championship game. But Connor McDavid was just unbelievable in the OHL for the Erie Otters. Tremendous in the playoffs. He was averaging somewhere near 3 points a game during the regular season, just really carrying the load for that team. And I think that's how things are going to go. 1-2, no surprises. But beyond that, there are a lot of good talented players in the top half of the first round. So for Boston sitting there at 14, they should have a pretty good player coming their way.
Jesse Connolly of AlongTheBoards.com visiting with us here on a Friday afternoon. Now, as for the Bruins, as they plot their next moves, what about a couple of these reports that maybe some interest in bringing Phil Kessel back to the team?
Yeah, I got a good laugh out of that 4 or 5 days ago when that first report came out. It was what's more surprising about it is that the list that Kessel came up with, it was 8 teams, which one included a lot of original six, high quality teams, contenders. People talk about Phil Kessel being a guy that shies away from pressure. If that was his list at the NHL trade deadline a couple months ago of where he wanted to go, that he doesn't seem like a guy that wanted to avoid the postseason or playing on the big stage. So, when it comes to Boston, it's funny because Peter Chiarelli was obviously still the general manager at the time when Phil Kessel submitted that list, and Peter Chiarelli is obviously the gentleman that traded Phil Kessel to Toronto for a trio of draft picks there. So it's funny to think that he would have been willing to come back here with Chiarelli still at the helm. Now you've got Don Sweeney, a guy who's been in the organization for a long time now. Obviously, he was here when Kessel was here. So if you're talking trade logistics, the Bruins would, they'd have to give up something pretty big. The Leafs aren't going to just give Phil Kessel away, even if there's so much discontent up there with himself and Dion Phaneuf, their captain. There's just so much fan frustration. So if the Bruins were to explore it, they'd have to give up something big. They don't have the cap space to just take on Phil Kessel with giving away spare parts or a slew of draft picks. It'd have to be someone along the lines of Milan Lucic or a guy that carries a pretty big cap hit. So it's pretty interesting to think about some good hockey fodder for the next couple of weeks here, as we go through the draft and eventually toward free agency.
And how much financial flexibility do the Bruins have this summer?
Virtually none, which seems to be the case every summer. We always talk about, especially you and I, well, what are the Bruins going to do this summer? And my answer is always they have to focus internally. It's always taking care of their guys. In the last couple of years, it's a few times over, it's been Torrey Krug and Riley Smith, and this time around, it's Dougie Hamilton is the big guy, and there's been a lot of talk about him having some looking for a king's ransom. Basically, talk of $6.5-7 million salaries for Dougie Hamilton after his entry level contract is up. He's a restricted free agent, so there's exists the possibility of offer sheets. We always discuss this being possible. Will it happen? Will a GM finally grow a pair and take a shot at a supremely talented guy that's only going to get better? And who knows? I mean, Dougie Hamilton is a guy that's worth taking a shot on. He had, a career year, a real breakout year in his third season with the Bruins, 42 points. And I thought he played well, especially with, Zdeno Chara being out. He took the lead. He was, without a doubt, the Bruins' best defenseman throughout the 2014-15 season. He does a lot to drive possession. Yes, he still makes some mistakes here and there, but he's a young guy. He's only drafted a few years ago. I think the sky's the limit, and that's really going to be their focus. They don't have a lot of room to dabble in free agency. I think ideally they'd want to get a veteran backup goaltender rather than thrust Malcolm Subban into that role behind Tuukka Rask. We saw how well he fared in his NHL debut. It was not good. It was really ugly out in St. Louis. So I think if they could squeeze in a cheap veteran goalie that they could rely on, that doesn't have to be Tuukka Rask, it doesn't have to play 25 games, but just someone they could count on, I think that'd be their ultimate target in looking outside the organization.
Well, it's going to be fun to see what happens this summer. Jesse, thanks to you for all your help with us during the course of the season. We certainly can't wait till the first drop of the puck next year, so we'll check in with you this summer and see what's going on, but thanks for all your help all season long.
Hey, thanks so much for having me, Rich. Appreciate it.
Jesse Connolly from AlongTheBoards.com.